So on behalf of my wife and I, the pastors, Pastor Aleem, Jared, and David, and all of our elders and deacons, we just want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and we want to agree with Pastor Aleem. We hope it's the best Christmas that you have. And I just want to say a special word to families of the children. I thank you that you're teaching them about Jesus. Not only you're not sending them to church, you're bringing them to church. So kids, we're glad that you're here today. Hope your activity pack helps you. Hope you will be blessed for what's taught today. You know, I love Christmas. Do you like Christmas?
Yeah.
I love Christmas. It is the most wonderful time of the year, usually. You know, when I like watching It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. I, not my wife, like to watch the movie Elf. You know, Die Hard, come on guys, Die Hard's that's a Christmas music, Christmas movie, I don't care who you are, it is. But you know, over the years, my love of Christmas has changed. You know, I have vivid memories, and I'm going to date myself here a little bit, but we spent one Christmas at my grandparents' house, and the only heat in their home was a black pot-bellied stove. Now, I don't know, anybody ever been around a black pot-bellied stove? It only heats one room, but it heats it real hot. And, you know, we kids, we'd get bored, so we'd try to get as close as we could and then jump away before it burned us. And I remember opening this one package that I had been eyeing all this time, and it was a really big package, and I opened it up, and it was the coolest ray gun I had ever seen. You know, and I always look forward to Christmases because it was all about the things. It was all about the materials. But can I tell you, as I've grown and as I've given my life to Jesus, I've come to realize that Christmas isn't about materialism. It's about the Messiah. And when we begin to focus on the material things, I don't have that ray gun anymore. Surprise, surprise. Why? Because it is broken. It got discarded. It filled a trash heap somewhere in Arkansas. You know, those things that we have that we're going to be under the Christmas tree, none of those will last. But what we find, and we were singing this song and talking about, the Christmas, really the Christmas tree is the cross, y'all. I mean, if you think about it, we bow at a material cross, but when we ought to be bowing at the cross of Calvary. And we have no problem bowing and opening our gifts. And I got grandkids, and I love seeing their smiles and hearing their squeals and all of that. But the reality is, I have had to have a focus change to make Christmas meaningful. Now when I think of the material things, we were out yesterday. Man, I don't know if you were among them. If you are, shame on you. You drive terribly. You don't use your blinker. You do use your horn, and you think you have the right-of-way no matter 10 people are waiting for the same parking spot. You know, when I go to, I just don't want to even be near the mall. Amen? Man, Amazon is a wonderful thing because you don't have to fight the crowds. Yeah, get it. But, you know, I've seen over the years, though, that all the material things, and I got wrapped up in that as a small child and as a teenager and even early adult years. But when I said yes to Jesus Christ, my focus began to change. And I would suggest to you this morning, that's one of the things that we all have to fight here. You and I, we have to fight this focus change every year. We all oftentimes get dragged into the material or the spirit of mammon instead of the spirit of Christ. It's about what we buy for others. It's about what we get from others when it really ought to be what he gave us. And over the last several weeks, if you're joining us for the first time, we've been looking at the Christmas playlist. No, it's not Santa Got Run Over by a Reindeer, one of my favorite childhood songs. Anybody like that? Is it grandma or grandpa?
Grandma.
Yeah, it could be either one when they get that old, so it doesn't. You know, and we sing these songs and, you know, Santa Baby and all these secular songs. But I got to tell you this morning, as we've looked back, we've talked about what is called in Latin the Benedictus. And then the Benedictus, it was the Zechariah song when the Gabriel, the angel, appeared to Zechariah and told him his old wife was going to be with child. And they doubted him. Zechariah doubted him, and we know the story because we talked about it in the first week that God muted him. He couldn't speak anything until the child was to be born. So during that 9 months, a new song began to develop in his heart. And the moment that the baby was born and it came time to name John, they said, nobody in your family's named John. And he wrote on a tablet, his name is Jesus. And immediately his mouth opened and he began to sing a brand new song. He began to sing a song praising God for the miracle of birth, but he also began to prophesy through song about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, the chosen one, the sent one. And then we all know the story of Mary. It's called the Magnificat. It's her story of being astounded by the angels and being told she was going to be with child, even though she had not been with Joseph. And we know that she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was with child with John, and stayed there till his birth. And we see that she began to sing the song of glory to God. You cannot have an encounter with Jesus and not have a song well up in your heart. You just can't. If you've had a true encounter with the Messiah, your song will change. But I suggest to you this morning, not only will your song change, but your focus must change. I want you to take a moment and just think for just a second. This Christmas, where has your focus been? Getting the best parking at the mall? Making sure you got that one last gift? Making sure that you went to the grocery store, got all the things that you need, and those are not bad things. But has that been your main focus? Or, obviously you're here today, your focus, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you in today's scripture that we read today, I want to encourage each and every one of you this Christmas, whatever time, if you do it Christmas Eve like we do or Christmas Day, I want to encourage you before you bow at the Christmas tree that you take a moment and bow at the cross of Calvary. And read today's scripture. Just read it and let God's word do its thing. And these are you'll know this song. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at 8 through 20. Now, these verses are so important. They're crucial, integral to the Christmas story. And when I read them, a couple of things kind of jump out at me. It is Charlie Brown Christmas. Anybody watch it already this year? And you know, Linus, there you go, Joel. Linus, you know, he gets up and says, Charlie Brown, what's it all about? And Linus gets up and he recites these verses. I can't help but read these verses and think about Linus and Charlie Brown standing on that stage and the impact that had on me the very first time I saw it. The second thing is with the song in a different way that we sang the traditional, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And that was penned by Chris Wesley. Chris Wesley was John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. That was his brother, and he penned the words to that originally as a poem. And later on, they found a secular song written by, you'll know this name, Felix Mendelssohn, a famous writer. But he wrote a secular song, and that secular song, which I think is not a coincidence, the song that he wrote was about the first printing press called the Gutenberg Printing Press, which, by the way, on the Gutenberg Printing Press is where the first ever Bible was printed and able to be given to man. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and this song that was brought together, God's history. And in this song and in this passage, you're going to find there's so much in here. So I just want to read this. I just want you to just put your Bibles down. You can follow along on the screens. Put your apps, turn them off for right now. And I just want you to listen to these words because it brings into focus what Christmas is really all about. And in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." suddenly there was a multitude of the angel heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." That is known as Excelsius Deo. In Excelsius Deo, literally in Latin, means all glory given to him who's the highest and in the highest. And when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off, and guess what happened? They found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, after an encounter with Christ, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Not for what they had received, not what they had been given, but what they had been shown, the glory of God incarnate in Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. An encounter with the living Jesus Christ changed their song as well. And I don't know if you know this or not, but this particular passage of Scripture is probably the most deep theological passages of Scripture in all the Bible. And this morning, I want to talk to you about that because it shows the true, authentic story of Jesus and Christmas. Now, I'm going to teach you some seminarian words, some theological words, some highfalutin words. Most of you have never heard of these words. Some of you may have. But these words and this passage of Scripture come together. And when Chris Wesley saw this passage of Scripture, it encouraged him to write this poem because there was so much doctrine within its verses. First thing I want to talk to and show you that within these verses, we see theology. Now, what is theology? Theology, we see that God's Word had a message. And theology is the study of God, His Word, and His relationship to the world. God so loved the world that He sent His Son. That's Christmas, amen? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Greatest gift ever, amen? Because this is not going to burn up. This one's going to last through eternity. And theology is simply the Word of God revealed by God, the Word of God that teaches us about God, the Word of God that leads us to God, and the Word of God that requires a response to God. That's theology. And every one of us have some form of theology, what we believe about God. But here within these verses, we see where in these first few verses, we see that God's Word came. It had a purpose and it had an effect. That's why we preach the Word of God today, because we believe it's from God. It tells us who God is. It leads us to God. It helps us show how far away we are and how close He wants us to be. And it requires a response. Each and every time that we gather as the church on Sunday, there is supposed to be a response to God's Word. Not to me, not to others, but to God's Word. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts on the way in, it cuts on the way out, but it accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. It will not return void. That's theology. And when we see in these verses, in this 8 through 20, we see here that we see the theme of these verses is God's plan and God's promise. And they all wrap up in the name of what we just sang about. The theme of Christmas, the theme of theology, the theme of God's plan is Jesus. Jesus, and it's not a cuss word. It's not a response when something bad happens and we shout that name. Jesus is the reason for the season. I know that's cliche, but Jesus is the reason that we exist and that we have hope for eternity. We see this in these short verses. We see the theology of God's plan and God's promises, Jesus Christ. And listen, when God says something, it will be accomplished. Listen to what He says in Ezekiel through the prophet Ezekiel. I, Yahweh, will speak whatever message I will speak. Basically, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and it doesn't end there, and it will be done. God's Word does not return unto Him void. And God says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. It was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Is that not Christmas? And it came with a promise and with a plan that He wants to have a relationship with us. And all along, this theology of Jesus, we can see from the beginning until the last dot in Revelation. But in the Old Testament, we see hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, God's Word, that were fulfilled in the baby and the person and the man, Jesus Christ. That's the theology of Christmas, is Jesus. It's not gifts, it's not giving, it's not gathering, it's Jesus. And if we miss that, our focus will be off. Hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, many godly people, really from Malachi all the way, or Moses to Malachi, they prophesied about this coming Messiah, this coming Savior, this wonderful name of Jesus. Here's just a few. The prophet Isaiah said that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Guess what? He was. The other prophet said at least 600 years before Jesus was born, and it took that long because God was working His plan and preparing. The prophet Micah said Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Guess what? He was. Prophet Hosea said He would be called out of Egypt, and He was. And many prophets over and over prophesied that He would be from Nazareth, and He was. Our Christmas focus this year is Jesus. It should always be Jesus, but as we contemplate Christmas, please don't leave Jesus out. Make Him the center of Christmas. The promises and prophecies of the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, Almighty Lord, Mighty God, those prophecies about Jesus came true in Jesus. Now here's a good word. Within these 8 to 20, we see not only theology, but we see the main theme again. It's called Christology. Christology is simply the teachings about who Jesus is. It is the doctrine of the person of Jesus, the nature of Jesus, and the role of Jesus. The theme, again, is what? The theme, again, is what? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I love you. How I long for you, even more. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said this. It says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Our Christmas focus must be Jesus. He's all of that and then some. Jesus Christ is all of that and is some. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our Deliverer. He's our Defender. He is our Savior. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the list goes on. Christmas is about the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't stay a baby, and we'd all think, we like to keep Jesus a baby. Can I just tell you, He's not in that manger, and He's not on the cross. Jesus Christ is risen, and that is the reason we can have hope and peace and joy at Christmas time and any time, because the tomb is empty and He's not there in the manger anymore. Aren't you glad? That'd be kind of weird after 2,000 years. That'd be worse than the case of Curious Benjamin Button, right? He came with a, God had a plan, and God had a promise, and He had a provision, and it's called, His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. It's the Christology of Jesus, the doctrine of His. He says that we have to focus on Him, and that is the real reason for Christmas. Now, I like this word. When I was going through seminary, I'm like, what in the world is that name? It's called soteriology. Soteriology. Soteriology is the doctrine of salvation. Right from the get-go, they say, to you a Savior is born. Within these verses, we see this teaching that comes alive, that Jesus was sent for a reason, and that is to provide us with salvation. Salvation from what? Materialism, sin, despair, disappointment, no joy in our lives, no love in our life, broken relationship. Jesus came to give us love, joy, and peace, but He also came to give us salvation. Can I just say the theme of Christmas again is Jesus is our Savior. Jesus. There is no other name by which you must be saved. In fact, we see in Acts chapter 4, the author, Dr. Luke, said, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it." The theme of Christmas is Jesus. Now listen, don't hear me say I'm negating all of those things. But when all of those other things become the main thing, we've made them the wrong thing. Jesus has to be the center of Christmas. Jesus, He's begging to be the center of your life and my life, our life. He wants to be the focus. The Bible tells us God's a jealous God. He really wants us to focus on Him because it's all about Him. Christmas time is all about Him, amen? You know, we've talked about over the years, it's hard to believe that on January 1st, I will have been here 7 years. And over those 7 years, we've been talking about Christianity 101. It's about Him, and it's about them. It's not about us. But notice what comes first is first. It's about Him. Christology, we see in these verses, they talk about who God is. Glory to God in the highest. He says, and on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. We see this and we sing this, "Hark the herald angels sing." They had reason to sing because how can you imagine? They've been waiting, they've been watching, and the angels got to see God's promise become reality. Listen, if you found Jesus Christ in your heart, then you know that His promise is real. His love is real. His peace is real. His joy is real. Christmas focus, Jesus, the center of the season, the center of every season. Now, I kind of lump these last two together. We see here that when these shepherds had an encounter with God through the angel about Jesus, we see this doctrine of pneumatology. Pneumatology is the doctrine of the study of the Holy Spirit. We see the glimpses of the Holy Spirit because it is the Holy Spirit that moves us to action. When the shepherds had that encounter with the angel and they knew what the prophecy was about and they knew who they were in-betweeners. They weren't allowed into the temple and they were scorned by just about everybody. They were just out there, and to know that God came to give them peace and joy and they had an encounter with Jesus, they didn't just sit there. They got out of their routine and they began to proclaim about Jesus Christ. And these are glimpses of what the Holy Spirit does in us and through us when we have an encounter with Jesus. Here in these verses, we see so much rich doctrine, and here's this pneumatology, but it doesn't stop there. He also shares with us in these verses the theology or the doctrine of ecclesiology. Now, ecclesiology is the doctrine or the study of God's people, and we're referred to as the church, amen? And I got to tell you, the church has had an encounter with Jesus Christ. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are supposed to be doing something as a church, and it's the same thing that the shepherds did. It's the same thing that Mary did. It's the same thing that Zechariah did. We tell people that Jesus is who He says He is. Merry Christmas to us. We get to tell people that Jesus is really the reason for the season. And after long gone, after the wrappings have been thrown away in those big, ugly, black plastic bags, and you struggle and strain and fall off the ladder to get your stuff back up in the attic, you finally get your home back, but the glitter never goes away. Long after all of that, Jesus, He'll be there the day after Christmas and the day after that and the day after that. This is about Jesus, and we as a church, we should practice ecclesiology, this thing of where we are responding to an encounter with Jesus Christ. And the church is not a building. The church is those who gather at the building and who are scattered into the world when we leave this building in just a little bit. The theme, once again, is Jesus. Our response with an encounter with Jesus. So, now what? So what? So what? Well, let me ask you. Because I had to confess this morning again. Sometimes I get so wrapped up in the materialistic, not for wanting stuff, but for me, it's just the pain of it. It's so easy to get off focus, especially during this season. It's so easy to make it about something other than who it was intended to be about. It's so easy to get caught up in all of the stuff and the hustle and the bustle and the food and the family and the friends. But I got to tell you, when we don't make it about Jesus, we've missed the mark. We may have a little fun. We may have a little joy. Oh, my goodness, but don't you want joy that comes in the morning and the morning after and the morning after? Don't you want the peace that passes all understanding? It doesn't make sense when you're going through the difficult times, because through that time, not just the joyous times, but in the valleys. It is in the valleys where Jesus is there as well. In fact, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, that's a gift worth celebrating. Jesus. We all need a focus change. What's your focus been on this Christmas? Getting all the cards out? Making sure everybody has something and it's of equal value. If you got kids, you know that deal. They compare. They're compare shoppers. Well, his is 20 cents more than mine. So what? Let me read to you in closing that song crafted by Chris Wesley when he encountered these verses. And there's two words I want us to focus on as we close. Hark, that's one of them. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Soteriology, you see it? You see the theology? They're having the spoken word of God. Join the triumph of the skies. There's an invitation here. Join us. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark. There's the second word. Hark. We see that twice. The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Christ. Here we are, Christology. Christ by heaven, highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. The prophecies fulfilled. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased is man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, we see that again. The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Here's the second word. Hail. Hail the heaven-born prince of peace. Hail the son of righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons on earth, of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, in excelsis Deo. Glory to the God in the highest, glory to the newborn king. This season, as God begins to speak to your heart, even today, even this morning. Hark means to listen to. Hark means to pay attention. It's a acclamation of that we're understanding. Hark. And heed means we apply what we've heard in the world. Hark and heed. Hark and heed. And hail the newborn Prince of Peace. The greatest gift that we could give anybody at any time of the year, but especially this time of year, is to introduce to them the center of Christmas, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. As the band's coming forward, I just again ask that you bow your head and close your eyes and take just a couple of minutes. And let's be honest. Let's be honest to God. He knows it already, so why not just get it out there? In your own words, just say, God, peer into my heart. Look and identify where my focus is. And right now in this holy place where your body, your bride, is gathered, search my heart. See where my focus is. See where the focus needs to change. See where the song needs to change in my life. God, be my song. May my life song be for you. God, revealing to you this morning, what needs to change? I want you to celebrate, church, I want you to celebrate Christmas. But I'm begging you, do it with Christ at the center. Lord, I don't know if there's anyone here who only has a head knowledge of you. They've heard the stories, they've seen the nativity scenes. They've sung the songs. They've even read the Bible, that passage. They've watched Charlie Brown. They have a head knowledge of Jesus, but deep down inside, you're revealing them that they don't have a heart knowledge. They know of you, but they don't know you. Can I just tell you, with every head bowed and every eye closed again, that you know and God knows the answer to that question. Do you know him, or is it merely you know of him? This Christmas, this Sunday morn, this holy time where we gather in the name of Jesus, if you don't know him for sure, I ask that today would be that day for you. The day that you would just simply in your own words, just kind of use your own words and cry out to God and say, God, I know of you, but truth be told, and you know the truth, God, I don't really know you, but I want to. You've touched my heart. You reveal some things that need to be changed. And God, with all I know how, I don't know all of it. God, with all that I know how, with all my being, I want to say yes to Jesus. And I want to begin to sing a song that's different than my life has sung before. I want to sing the praises of Jesus. I want my life to count for here and eternity. If that's you this morning, just simply in your own words, say, God, I admit that I've missed your mark. I believe that you are Jesus. You are the way to salvation. And I commit my life to you. I want to say yes to you. If you prayed that prayer in your own words, then in just a few minutes, I'm going to be standing down here in the middle here on the floor. And if you would like to just come and say, Pastor Jay, I've said yes to Jesus. I've said yes to Jesus today. And I'd love to just say a quick word of prayer for you, and we'll have others that will be standing here as well. I'm going to ask our elders who are present and that you might come, our pastors who are present. You don't have to take just my hand. Just come and tell somebody, yes, I've said yes to Jesus. But maybe you've said yes to Jesus, but you're like me. You struggle with focus. You struggle with after the season's over, you put away the packages and all of that. You go about life like it always was. God, we know that our lives have to reflect a true, authentic, relevant encounter with you, God, through Jesus. So those of us who have said yes to Jesus, maybe God is revealing to you that your focus needs to get refocused. And today you might want to just come and take one of those who will be praying with you and for you and just say, I need refocus. I need to recommit. I need to be a conduit, a song that sings and declares of glory to God in the highest. I need you, God, to re-energize my heart and let me be your messenger to others that you came also for. Let me not be selfish in my salvation. Whatever God's telling you to do, you may not have a church home and you're looking for one. Maybe God today has said, this is where I need to plug in and throw my hat in with and be a part of this body. Let one of them guys know. Well, let one of our prayers know and just say, I found my church home. I want to be here. I want to participate here. There may be other things. Maybe you're just hurt. Christmas season is a tough time. When loved ones won't be joining us again this year. When family members are way away or there's a wall between us emotionally and spiritually. It can be very tough. Maybe you're single. It sometimes can be a very depressing time when the focus isn't Jesus. So I encourage you, maybe just have someone say, I'm struggling. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me that I would change the focus from me to God and experience joy? Whatever God is asking you to do today, that's all I'm asking you to do. What is He telling you to do? What is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do? And so now, God, in Jesus' name and in the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask that you move in the hearts of men and women and children. I ask that you speak to every individual here today. And God, that they would be obedient and take a step forward with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I could get our elders and pastors to come and stand. Carl and the team are going to begin to lead us. You may want to stay right there in your seat and just pray, but whatever God's leading you to do, would you do that? Thank you.